I have some more questions in my inbox, and please keep sending them in. Indicates to me a response and interest from devotees. Otherwise, also very encouraged when I was in Ubindav, and I had many devotees coming up to me from different parts of the states, from Washington, New Vrindavan, and someone from Los Angeles, mentioning that they were inspired by the site. So I'm glad, because the purpose is to serve the Vaishnavas. Here's a question from Namacharya Das, and he's first expressing gratitude for the website. Thank you for that. And the question is, explain two contradictory statements from Srila Prabhupada's purports. This is from the 10th canto, 10th chapter, 22nd verse, and the other one is from the 23rd verse. The first statement is, a tree has no consciousness. When cut, it feels no pain. And Arjuna trees are still found in many forests, and their skin is used by cardiologists to prepare medicine for heart trouble. This means that even though they are trees, they are disturbed when skinned for medical purposes. Science. The question is, do trees feel pain when cut or skinned? The answer is yes. It isn't that it has absolutely no consciousness, but by comparison to the consciousness of human beings, they have very little consciousness. But still, they're living entities with a body, and according to their hierarchy in the evolutionary scale, spiritual evolutionary scale, or the evolutionary scale of the soul, all living entities experience some degree of pain and pleasure. A tree is very low on the evolutionary scale. A human being is very high. So by comparison to humans, you could say that a tree has no consciousness. But by comparison to trees, they do feel pleasure, therefore they grow in the direction of the sun, feeling the warmth and nourishment that they get from sunshine, and pain when you break their branches, skin them, and so on. And here's a Bhakta Nicholas in Colombia. Is there a GBC ruling on having a guru within a certain zone limit, or can we seek shelter of a guru anywhere? If so, how is association with that spiritual master conducted? There are many GBC resolutions on ISKCON's members and their rights and obligations in accepting and following the spiritual master. You'll find them in the law books, which are and should be readily available in temples. It's not the most up-to-date law book, but it certainly has all of the laws on this subject matter in it, or at least most of the laws. And in answer to your question, a devotee is free to accept a guru of his choice from anywhere within the ISKCON world. That acceptance should be affirmed by one's local authority. Someone should be recommended by one's local temple president, Nam Hada leader, or other authority, as the case may be and as the particular law applies. But the basic principle which Shastra dictates is that a devotee should be not only inspired by one spiritual master, but as you also write here, Nicholas, you should be able to associate. In the modern world, association can take place through the internet, by telephone, correspondence, but it should be sufficient so that one actually gets sufficient instruction and guidance to ensure that one's bhakti lata bij grows. And that's probably even more important in certain areas where ISKCON does not have a temple, Namhara. If a devotee is not near to a local ISKCON center, then he won't have the opportunity to associate with other devotees so easily, so readily. So therefore, he or she should have good association through other medium by Vaishnavas and, of course, one's own spiritual master. Ideally, my opinion is that devotees should accept initiation from those Vaishnavas who are physically, regularly present in their area. Those who travel there, those who stay there, those who preach there, because that will guarantee the best quality of association. To accept a spiritual master who never goes to someone's own, who is far distant, and perhaps at best rarely goes, can also be done. There's no law against it. But the practicalities of association are limited to how well you can use electronic media for communication and how well the spiritual master will respond, how busy he is, and how much time he has. So you can take shelter of a guru anywhere. The question is how well you will be able to associate with that person. And here's another question from Romania. This is from Bhakta Yugu. While chanting, we address Krishna personally, but we can meditate and address Krishna and Radharani, Krishna and Balaram, or Lord Chaitanya, or Lord Nityananda, and so on. In choosing on whom to meditate, is this a matter of preference? Is it easier to have access to the mercy of the Lord if we meditate on Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Nityananda, because they are the most merciful? In devotional service, one should always practice devotional service under regular guidance. Regular guidance means that devotees should be in touch with those Vaishnavas who know one's level of progression, advancement in Krishna consciousness, and give instructions accordingly. Because devotees' practices in Krishna consciousness, their meditation, their mood may change as they advance in time. And therefore, what's applicable at one stage of Krishna consciousness is not applicable to another. However, there are general principles which are, in regards to chanting Hare Krishna, the general principle is to always follow the four regulative principles. When chanting, chant free from the 10 offenses and be very attentive to the sound vibration of the holy name. In the beginning, and as one becomes very competent in pronouncing the syllables of the holy name, in hearing, in fixing the mind, in becoming very regulated, then one should simply call out to Lord Krishna and his internal potency, for that is the direct meaning of the Maha Mantra, and ask to be engaged in their devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita at the conclusion of chanting the Maha Mantra, and at the beginning one should pray to the Panchatattva. In due course of time, as a certain mood of devotion manifests within the heart, then by proper guidance it may be that one may then meditate. Meditate means that one may remember the form of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, their qualities, and that meditation may be according to a specific mood, which may be Radha and Krishna, which may be Krishna and Balaram, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Lord Nityananda. That should be done under guidance. And because all of these personalities are also present within Panchatattva, then the same thing can be achieved while perhaps chanting before a picture of Panchatattva or before Gaur Nitai, while at the same time calling out the names of the Lord. Ultimately, if one chants without offense, what should be done in general and what should be done to devotees individually will manifest within the heart, because Dadami Buddhi Jogam Tam Jina Mamukuyantiti. because Krishna will give the direction from within the heart as to how to come to Him. And since the means by which we are coming to Him is through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, He will give us the guidance how best to chant, what things to avoid, what meditation to engage in. And if we have doubts about those things, then we can always check with superior authorities. Hare Krishna.